physical reality.
Well, let me ask you this question. May I?
Yes.
Do you believe that creation creates pointless creations? Or do you believe that everything fits? I'll ask you another way. Let us use an analogy. Let us say that you have what you call on your planet a fine china vase or cup in your hand. Can you picture this?
Okay.
Have you got it? Is it a vase or a cup?
A cup.
A cup. All right. Now, drop the cup in your imagination and see it shatter on the floor. Have you seen this? You see it shatter into pieces on the floor?
Yes.
All right. Now, here is my question. If you were to pick those pieces up and assemble them, would they assemble back into a cup? This is not a trick question. Would they assemble back into a cup?
By what substance?
Would they assemble back into a cup?
Yes,
of course, because you dropped the cup and it broke into pieces. And the pieces on the floor are the pieces of a cup. So the idea is that you understand when you see the pieces on the floor that every single piece there has a place where it fits to go back into the concept of becoming a whole cup. There are no extraneous pieces. You're not going to find extra pieces, are you?
No.
Are you?
If I gathered them all, no.
And if you gathered them all, you're not going to be missing any.
Right.
You follow? And let's, for the sake of this illustration, simply say that the pieces didn't go that far. You can see every single one of them so that you know you're going to have exactly just the right amount of pieces and that when you assemble them, they are going to be a cup. Are you following me so far?
Yes.
Therefore, you must understand that every single thing in creation is such a piece of the whole. There are no extraneous pieces, and there are no pieces missing. Everything fits into one big puzzle picture. You follow? Everyone is a piece, a puzzle piece of one big puzzle picture. You follow?
Yes.
And therefore, when everyone is simply who they need to be, when everyone is the shape they were created to be, when everyone is the piece of the puzzle that they were created to be, then they fit where they belong, and they add their piece to the whole picture and support the whole. And there's no leftover pieces, and there's no pieces missing. You follow me?
Yes.
So, if you are the one with whom the child made the agreement, doesn't that automatically, by definition, mean you must belong together? Or the child would have made an agreement with someone else?
Yes.
Well, are you getting the point?
Yes.
Then you must be equal, or it couldn't exist. And it is only your assumption that you are not equal that makes you experience the inequality. It's only your definition that you are not equal that allows you to experience inequality as a tangible reality. But it doesn't mean it's empirically true, because if it were empirically true, we wouldn't be having this conversation. Because you wouldn't have this to talk about, because it wouldn't exist in your reality, because there are no pointless creations, and there are no pieces that are not where they don't belong. Do you follow that?
Mm-hmm.
Is this making some sense to you?
Yes, it does.
Is this helping to illuminate and lighten up the whole picture for you?
Yes, yes. Energetically
In that's where it begins. Let it sink in. It will permeate every aspect of your being. It will permeate every other area wherein you might still insist that you are not worthy. But if you really, 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 and this goes for all of you, if you really, really, really were not worthy in the way most of you think, you wouldn't exist at all. In a sense, if I may put this somewhat colloquially and somewhat poetically, there is a very, very large paradox at work. When people on your planet think that they are unworthy, it's actually one of the most arrogant things you can say. One of the most egotistical things you can say. Because what you are saying is that, yes, everything in the universe fits perfectly except me. I stand out as the only unworthy aspect of all of creation. Look at me. You see the paradox in saying you are unworthy? Because truly, if you really were unworthy, you wouldn't be in existence at all, because creation would not have created something that didn't belong. And by really saying you're unworthy and really allowing yourself to believe that you are unworthy, what you're telling the Creator is that the gift of existence is worthless. The gift you have given is worthless. I throw it back in your face. Now, the Creator loves you unconditionally, so the Creator doesn't mind. Because the Creator loves you all so unconditionally that the Creator allows you to even believe you are not worthy. That's how loved and worthy you are. Because you have total freedom to believe whatever you want. That's how loved and supported you are. And if you want to believe you're unworthy, creation says, okay, I love you none the less. And I will allow you to believe what you choose to believe, but the proof is that you exist. And if you stop and take a moment to really think about it, you will realize that your very existence means you must be worthy, because creation would not have created you were you not. Because you are an aspect of the infinite. Remember the second law? You are an aspect of the one, and you are the one, pretending, in a sense, to be a part of the one. So if you're saying, I'm unworthy, you're saying it's all worthless.
I have said that.
Yes, I know, and that's all right. Again, it is a valid perspective, but the idea is that you do not necessarily have to think that it's actually an empirical truth as if it were a law of creation. I already told you what the four laws were. You didn't hear me say the fifth law is that you are unworthy. So it's not a law, it is only a point of view. You're using the four laws to create a point of view and a belief that you're unworthy, but it's not an empirical absolute truth. It's only an experience. And you can change it because it's an experience. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Hello, Bashar.
And you, good day.
I'm here to ask you, I think you've answered most of my other questions.
All right.
I appreciate the repetition. We learn slowly here.
Not really.
Well, it seems like it.
No, not really. You see, all of you know exactly what you're doing. I'm just reminding you of what you're doing. None of you learn slowly at all. You are all absolute masters at creating the realities you create. We're just reminding you that the idea is not that you are not creating perfection. It's just that some of you are choosing to create perfect misery. You understand?
Yes, I do.
But that doesn't mean you are not in control of creating your reality, and you all know this. So anyway, you're not slow learners. Don't judge yourself, please, on our account. Go ahead.
So if you have a mess around you...
A mess, yes.
Would you say that the advice to get through it and go beyond would be the moment-to-moment living moment?
In some senses. But the idea, of course, is personal value, personal integrity, personal responsibility for the consequences of your own actions, allowing clear communication to all components involved in all relationships you have co-created, so that you are being responsible for your parts in all the relationships that might have led to what you are defining as messes, but also learning from them as lessons, so that you can then make clear statements within yourself that you are learning from them, and have learned that this is not necessarily the direction of your preference, and in choosing a new direction, then you will be using them as stepping stones, and you will be incorporating and integrating these experiences into you and becoming more holistic. In a nutshell. Do you understand?
Yeah. Sort of.
Well, can you be more specific about what you are defining as a mess?
Yes. Okay. I guess my blockage or battle right now has been with linear time.
It's battling linear time.
Yes, and it seems like...
how dramatic.
Well, it
Why
is
are
dramatic.
You battling linear time in what way?
It just feels like there's...
What does that mean?
Battling linear time?
Yes, what does that mean?
Well, having many more things to do and get done than feels like there's time to do.
Sometimes, not always, but more often than not, that is usually a symptom of doing more than you have to do. It is usually a symptom of not really allowing the thing that excites you the most to be the first thing you do. Because the thing that excites you the most, pay attention, is A, the organizing principle, and B, the driving engine that determines C, what other things need to be done. Okay. When you act on the thing that excites you the most to the best of your ability first, your day will automatically organize itself in order of all the things that excite you that you have the ability to do. Whatever it is, in a sense, you don't have time to do when you're done with that day, didn't need doing.
I understand that.
Because when you operate that way, all the things that are truly important for you to function holistically, and all the circumstances that really need to appear in your life to allow you to do what you really need to get done, will fill and fit perfectly in any given moment or day or time span, and will allow you to experience this in a very effortless and creative, poetic, and synchronistic way, rather than feeling you have to